And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, I mangled it a while ago. I mangled it. But what I was trying to say was one of the essentials of government is, of course, public safety. It's the enforcement of our laws. And the founding documents support that by saying provide for the common defense, support the general welfare, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Not like I didn't have that memorized before, but I couldn't get the words out a moment ago. But there it is. Establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. What does that mean? That's establishing law and order. Provide for the common defense. Is that just the military? No. The common defense might mean our borders. It might mean our laws. It might mean our streets. Support the general welfare. What does that mean? Is that giving away Social Security, Medicaid? No, not necessarily. It means making sure that people are cared for. I'm telling you, law and order is what our founders determined was one of the things that government was supposed to do. That when you pay your taxes, and Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, taxes, we all hate them, but there they are. But when you pay for them, you're not looking for them to go to things like a $20 million Sesame Street in Baghdad. You're not looking for them to do transgender surgeries in, you know, Sudan. You're looking for them to do some things, though, like paving your streets, you know, providing for a reasonable amount of infrastructure in your area, the servicing of goods and utilities and the ability to regulate those, and then law and order. Now, right now in L.A., we got a thing going on right this very minute. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, boy, she's a piece of work. Mayor Karen Bass is actually challenging federal agents who have gathered for a large roundup operation. You've got ATF, you got 90, I think it's 90 National Guardsmen that are a part of this event. And they are rounding people up in an area called MacArthur Park in Los Angeles. Mayor Bass went down there and thought it would be all the thing to get in their way and to confront them on it and to tell them they don't need to be doing this and to ask them to please go home. And she did. She actually went down there and said, and this is, by the way, this is government against government at this point. This is the mayor refusing to acknowledge that she has a problem in her community and that people don't feel safe. And she's asking for ICE to stop rounding up illegals. And ICE is saying, go pound sand. And ICE, by the way, brought in 90 National Guardsmen to protect them while they did their law enforcement roundup. That's ridiculous. But you know what it clearly shows me? Is that right now, this very minute, you've got the Trump administration determined to do what is necessary to preserve law and order. Coach Tommy Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, in response to an article on The Blaze showing L.A. Mayor Karen Bass trying to stop the federal immigration raids, telling them they all need to go home right now. It's unacceptable. Coach Tuberville's response was, lock her up. Just posted it about 30 minutes ago on his socials. Lock her up.
Isn't that obstruction, like, to the T?
If she's literally trying to stop them, if she's trying to impede their progress or get in their way, I say yes, take her in. She needs it. She deserves it. Another story I got here from Town Hall, Dateline yesterday. Operation Apex Hammer. What is that? Operation Apex Hammer, U.S. Attorney Alina Haba and U.S. Marshal Juan Meadows announced the arrest of over 264 criminals in the New Jersey region. New Jersey. 264 criminals. Operation Apex Hammer. It was a one-month statewide violent crime reduction initiative with federal, state, and local partners working together. Love that. By the way, they were arresting people like illegal immigrants who had sex crimes to their rap sheet. You had other sex offenses. You had 17 arrested who were prior homicide convictions. You had 95 gang members. You had, the report went on to say that of the 254 people arrested, collectively, they had committed 2,625 crimes. And they're just roaming the streets. Thank you, Biden administration. I mean, some of them are like wanted for burglary and attempted sexual assault of children. You've got others that are members of MS-13, Tren de Aragua, the Murder Bloods, the Rolling 60s Crips, and other dangerous groups. And then there's Arizona. Pray tell, Phil, what's happening in Arizona? I thought they had a liberal governor. They do. Funny how this is working out, right? New Jersey. Oh, blue state. Arizona. Oh, purple state leaning blue. Oh, Los Angeles. Oh, yeah, purple state. sanctuary cities. Look at this. Arizona Free News reports as of this weekend. Federal prosecutors in Arizona charged 164 individuals with immigration-related offenses as part of a concentrated enforcement effort. 164. Operation Take Back America. Loving that. The U.S. Attorney's offices through the national initiative through the Department of Justice, combating illegal immigration, dismantling transnational criminal organizations, increasing public safety. Joint effort of the Border Patrol, ICE, FBI, DEA, U.S. Marshals, ATF, U.S. Attorneys, all of it. Doing what it takes to get human traffickers, illegal aliens, criminals, all off the streets. I'm saying all that because I want you guys to get it. When we talk about government, we're mad. Government's too big, too bloated. There are certain things that we want government to do. One of which is to provide for the common defense, is support the general welfare, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. We want that. Well, here in Alabama, I am happy to say that even though we have blue pockets, that we are, generally speaking, a red state. Statewide office holders typically wind up being Republicans. And Attorney General Steve Marshall has been a great one. Attorney General Steve Marshall recently did a town hall with Brian Dawson from 1819 News, where he talked about the fact, he says, we're not a purple state. We have a 10th Amendment to our Constitution. It talks about the immense power of the states. Well, what I described to you a moment ago with things like Operation Apex Hammer and Operation Take Back America, those are roughly, generally speaking, federal with state involvement. But the states, including Alabama, have been doing an amount of work that has been incredible. And that's something that your attorney general helps make happen. At the state level, with local law enforcement also involved, Alabama AG Marshall has said, has led the way in legal battles for abortion issues, transgender surgeries against kids, immigration, law enforcement reforms. And he says it's all been hard-fought victories fighting woke ideologies from the Biden administration, but we've been doing it. And I agree with that. I mean, if you watch, it is so frustrating sometimes to, yes, you know, live in Alabama and want more out of your politics. But when you every once in a while step back and get some perspective and you compare it to places I just talked about a moment ago, like New Jersey and California and even Arizona, you look at it and go, my gosh, we live in the right place. Between Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, parts of Georgia, Florida, it's almost like the bastion of freedom. That 10th Amendment, that's a bulwark that gives us the ability to beat back the efforts of the liberal left. And right now, what I'm really pleased with is we're not having to fight our own U.S. government anymore. Do you know the U.S. attorney in Alabama was actually helping fight the issue related to transgender surgeries on minors because the Biden administration was forcing them to? I mean, come on. At least now we're back to a place where it's red at federal and red in Alabama. Meanwhile, law and order, more to do, but we got good people doing it. One of those is about to call in a minute. Catherine Robertson, we'll talk to her about her own run for Attorney General. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday, because it's always about the food. Well, listen, I'm talking about law and order, and I meant what I said earlier in the segment that, I mean, one of the few essential services, one of the things you pay your taxes for and expect it to happen, one of the few essential services of government that we can point to, even on our founding documents, is indeed law and order. To provide for the common defense, support the general welfare, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. That's not all about internationals and borders, and sometimes that's about your safe streets. Well, someone who knows that quite well is someone who I've had the pleasure of knowing a bit over the years. Catherine Robertson is on the phone right now. Catherine Robertson has been the senior counsel to Attorney General Steve Marshall now for a number of years. She's got her law degree from the University of Alabama, but her undergrad from Auburn. She's also, by the way, worked on the Hill for Senator Jeff Sessions. And I first knew her as the senior policy counsel and vice president for the Alabama Policy Institute. And full disclosure, my daughter worked for her for a short period of time as an intern. And Catherine Robertson, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us.
Of course. Great to be with you.
Well, listen, Catherine, I mean, I want to just get a feel for your job and the things that I know y'all have accomplished. I would dare say that one of the most successful, maybe the most successful attorney general we've had in modern history in Alabama has been your boss, Steve Marshall, and you've been there right in the middle of it all with him. Talk to me about the job and some of the latest stuff you got going on.
Yeah, I appreciate you recognizing that. I really do think that A.G. Marshall has been the best attorney general we've ever had. We've had some great ones, but he really came in at a time where we really needed somebody that was an expert in the public safety arena. Of course, the attorney general is the chief law enforcement officer of the state. A.G.'s that, you know, sort of had expertise in a lot of different areas. I think it was really time to go back to the traditional role of the chief law enforcement officer and for that to be the priority. And he's done that. And I mean, every day we've come to work, we've had the mission of making our state safer. And a lot of the ways that we've done that is through just the philosophy behind criminal justice in Alabama, the ideas that we've brought to the legislature, and just the way that we've managed cases. And I'm really, really proud of our track record. And there have been times, depending on who was in the White House, and times when there's weak leadership in certain cities, that the AG's office really had to step up. And I'm super proud of that. And we're really pleased to be living in a time right now where those federal partnerships are back. And so it's a great time for law enforcement right now in Alabama.
Well, I made the comment to you off the phone and off the air a minute ago, and I said it to your boss, the AG, when he was here in our studio, that 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution really is like a firewall. It gives states the right to have a say when there's overreach from the federal side. And you might think that's always red on blue, but sometimes it's even red on red. But the reality is the last 4 years, Lord, you guys have been like in one running gun battle after another with the federal government.
There's no question. I mean, the 10th Amendment is another big core piece of our mission at the AG's office, which is to defend Alabama's sovereignty. We have, you know, paid a price for giving that up in some scenarios. And of course, when there's a friendly administration, you still don't give up those fights because you know that it won't stay that way. When it comes to law enforcement, the federal government's role is really to supplement, I think, the state and local government's law enforcement efforts. When those partnerships are working, it's better. But of course, we do our thing, whether they're around or not. Like you said, the state's job is to protect the public health and welfare, and law enforcement's a huge part of that. But when it comes to other things, decisions about schools, decisions about regulation, decisions about the state legislating the issues it wants to address, the federal government can really get in the way of that. Not as much lately, but over the last 4 years, that has kept us plenty busy.
Well, you guys have fought, and in fact, one of the things I've been so pleased with is it wasn't just about criminal law. Sometimes it was fighting the culture wars. Sometimes it was fighting about, you know, funding for the state, or for that matter, election issues like the ongoing saga of congressional districts in Alabama. What if you had to look back over the last, well, you've been there since, what, 2017? Before that, I think you were with Luther Strange for a little while before that. But what if you had to look back over the time you've been there in the AG's office, like what would you hang your hat on as some of your favorite moments?
Oh, man. I think going back to COVID, those are some really significant moments. I wouldn't say they were my favorite. Those were some really hard days for our team. But the way that we fought Biden's vaccine mandate, we had success in nearly every case that we brought against that administration to keep our safe, our state free to make those decisions for ourselves. Lately, obviously, the dangerous experimentation on minors in the form of this transgender medicine, the role that we played at the Supreme Court a couple of weeks ago was really one that was sort of emotional for me, one that we've been fighting for a long time. And then the Title IX girls sports case that's coming up is another case that we've had a very heavy hand in. So thankful to see the high court willing to take that on. So, I mean, these are things that, you know, a lot of people go to work and go to school every day and aren't that worried about, and they shouldn't be. That's our job, is to worry about those things 24/7. But there are cases that if we haven't won, life would look a lot different in Alabama, and there's a big reason why, and that's the federal government's stronghold over so much of our activity due to money. And so we're thrilled at our track record so far. Redistricting is one, but that win has been harder to come by, but we're not giving up. There's still a possibility we can win that one in the long run too. So yeah, the constitutional defense that we do is a huge part of the work that we do. It's actually a huge recruiting tool. We have excellent attorneys that want to come fight those fights. So yeah, the social issues are a very important part of our day-to-day work.
Well, now you've been there for some landmark moments too. I mean, even watching from afar, but am I right that y'all file a brief in the Dobbs case that wound up overturning Roe v. Wade? Weren't y'all in some way contributing to that whole effort?
Yeah, we were heavily involved in the Dobbs case. Obviously, Mississippi, our next-door neighbor, is a close ally of ours. We were in lockstep with them. We had already passed our law, the same law that they were dealing with in their case. We filed a brief. And actually, Alabama was the first state to have the injunction lifted on our abortion prohibition. Our law was the first in the country to go back into place after the Dobbs decision was handed down. So, yeah, very significant moment there. And a great win for our friends next door in Mississippi.
Well, sorry, let's turn it kind of to home then. Safe streets. Am I correct? And I think I recall this correctly. Isn't the AG's office helping with the task force to make Montgomery's streets safer in the midst of the crime wave they had in the last couple of years? That's y'all have been contributing to that too, right?
We have. We've been part of a task force with ALEA, the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, the Sheriff's Office of Montgomery, the Montgomery PD, and it's been really effective. I mean, it just came at a time where the citizens of Montgomery were just desperate for an extra infusion of help, and we were obviously happy to provide that. We feel a lot of responsibility for the city of Montgomery. That's our backyard. Most of our employees live there. And so, it's our capital city. So if the Attorney General's office can't help in Montgomery, then I don't know what we're doing. So we've been continuing that. Now that is a kind of a surge thing. It's not something that's easy to maintain over the long term, but the idea was just to provide some relief for the locals in hopes that, that they could end up taking it on. We've looked at replicating that in other cities. I think that our experience in Montgomery has showed us that there may be some value in us having boots on the ground in some other parts of our state. And that's a kind of a long-range plan that I'd like to see come to fruition. But, yeah, look, we believe that public safety is the most important thing, obviously the most important thing for our office. But, really, if your city isn't safe, then nothing else really matters. If people don't feel safe in their neighborhoods, then what else matters? And that bleeds into education, economic development, all the things that we want for our state and our communities. If people aren't safe and they don't feel safe, then the rest doesn't matter. So we take that responsibility not very lightly, and we're just always looking for innovative ways to help out.
Well, okay, let me with a couple more minutes here before the break, let me ask you. I first met you when you were working at the Alabama Policy Institute. That was founded by who is now Congressman Gary Palmer. Of course, you worked with Senator Jeff Sessions on the Hill, I believe. And then I saw you working policy issues in the State House on behalf of API. And one of the things I really enjoyed about Steve Marshall is that he has not been afraid to interact with the legislative branch and ask them for things that he felt were something that would make his job easier to enforce the laws of the state or whatever the case may be. Do you see the AG's office as being actively engaged if you are successful in running in policy issues based on your background?
Absolutely. I mean, it was one of the first things that I told Steve when he took office. I said, I play the primary role in philosophy on criminal justice, and you do that through the legislature. And there had just been, legislature had been coming out of a time when leniency was more the topic du jour. There were a lot of out-of-state groups coming in and saying that our prison sentences were too harsh, et cetera, et cetera. And we needed to turn that around because we were starting to see the negative effects of that. And so to Steve's credit, he allowed me to take that on. We went over there. The very first bill we did was the Fair Justice Act to speed up capital litigation, which are the worst violent crime cases our state sees. We passed that successfully. And after that, we were off to the races. We accomplished parole reform. We've did an anti-gang bill. We've done sentencing on child exploitation. We've tried to correct our overly generous good time for inmates.
Yeah.
And everything we have taken them, they have passed. Every bill we've asked them to pass, they have done it, usually with a bipartisan base. This year, I wrote the Speedy Trial Act, took that over. That's to deal with violent crime case backlogs. Again, passed unanimously. So we've had a lot of success, and I think that is to be attributed to not just AG Marshall's leadership, which is huge, but also that they buy into what we're selling, that they know that we're studying these issues closely, and that there's a reason when we bring them a bill, it's not something we take lightly. It is something that we've studied and is born out of what we're seeing on the ground. And so we've really, really appreciated those partnerships with the legislature and have had a lot of success to show for it. And we're finally starting to see cases prosecuted under a lot of these bills that we've worked on. So that's really exciting, too, to really see it. In effect.
To actually see it come to life. Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to take a break right now. Catherine, can you hang on during the break? I want to come back and talk about your campaign per se. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
All right, we're taking a short break right now. We'll come right back from the break. We're with Catherine Robertson, who is right now chief counsel to the Attorney General, and we'll talk to her when she gets back about running for AG herself. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going right back to the phones. Catherine Robertson has been chief counsel to the Attorney General's office now for a number of years. She's had an amazing career working with some of the top-ranked politicos in our state, working at the Alabama Policy Institute in leadership. And she is now running for Attorney General herself officially. So, hey, Catherine, tell us about your campaign. What sparked this? And by the way, am I correct in saying you've never run for office before, but you've certainly been around them?
That's correct. Never run for office before. And honestly, Phil, I have never wanted to. but, you know, I think just in the brief conversation we've been having, you know, we covered a whole lot of different issues. The AG's office is a really, really unique place to practice law. It's a very complex place to work. And when I think back on our early days in the AG's office, when Steve first came in and I was there to help him, you know, we weren't as good at it as we are now. There's a learning curve there. And I just started thinking about, you know, when Steve leaves, he'll be the longest serving AG we've ever had. He'll have 10 years under his belt, which has never happened before, which means I'll have 10 years under my belt. Why not offer myself and offer the benefit of that experience to the people? I really think that it'll benefit the state of Alabama to have continuity from our office, especially when we've had such excellent leadership. And so after a lot of thought and prayer, I just decided that I'd get out there and see if I could earn the job for myself. So it's been really fun. I kicked off on June the 10th, and it's really been a neat opportunity to get to go out and talk about what we do and to hear feedback. That's something the AG has been able to do over the years, but I'm usually back at the office. It's really been a gift just to kind of hear that people are paying attention to our work, and it's just been, I don't know, it's been really encouraging.
Well, you've been there for a while. Like you said, continuity does mean something. What's the rough size of the staff? I mean, how big an organizational effort is this to run the AG's office?
Yeah, we have about 185 employees under our roof, but also the other state attorneys that work in individual agencies also report to the Attorney General through me. That's in my portfolio as well. So we actually manage more people than we have under our roof, but it's a pretty big operation. We have about 16 different divisions and, you know, hundreds of cases going at any given time. And, you know, nobody walks into that knowing exactly how to get your arms around that office on day one, but maybe I'll be the first person who can.
Well, with about 2 minutes left, you're also, you're a mom and a wife. You've got a family. This is a family decision, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I've got my husband, Ryan, and my two children, Towns and Evie. They are used to me being busy. I've tried to do that juggle well. I think that, you know, you can be called to be a mom and called to be other things at the same time. And so I've tried to do this without totally sacrificing my family time. There's definitely a balance there, but being chief counsel of the AG is a busy job. I've been doing it for 8.5 years, and so they're used to me having to split my time. I have a very supportive family and a great community of folks around me, and for whatever reason, I feel like this is what the Lord is calling me to right now, and I'm grateful to have a family that's backing me in that.
Well, if folks want to find out more about your campaign, where can they go to find it? You got a website or something you can tell us about?
Yeah, it's KatherineForAG.com, and it's spelled KatherineE. I'm also on social media.
Well, Catherine, we wish you the best. They like to say, you know, a week is a lifetime in politics, and you've got over a year. But you got there's plenty of time there to just, you know, continue growing this campaign. We look forward to hearing more about it. We'll have you back on again soon, and you've got our number, okay?
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate your friendship, and always happy to come on.
All right, thank you. All right, that's Catherine Robertson. Listen, I'm trying to introduce you guys to the candidates for the offices. There's a lot going on. This is going to be a huge election season in Alabama. And you got open seats in every statewide office. And we're going to turn our attention to Tennessee at some point, too, and get some of those. But the races are actually gelling already down here in Alabama. So for our Alabama listening audience, I'm going to be doing what I can to get them on the show, get you introduced to them, get you an information on where to find out more about them, and get a feel for who they really, really are as a person, not just a candidate. That's an important piece. More to come. All right, we're going to come back and talk about the America Party. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.